cannabis topics in less than 10 minutes. Let's go. What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of The Dime. As always, I'm Brian Fields, and with me, I've got my right-hand man, Kellen Finney, and this week, we've got a very special guest, Tahir Johnson, Director of Social Equity Inclusion at the U.S. Cannabis Council. Tahir, thanks for taking the time. How you doing today?
I'm good, man. What's going on with you, Brian?
Take us through that thought process, because I think for our listeners out there who are intrigued but kind of intimidated by the journey, were you sure you were going to dive in? You know, take us through kind of that thought process when you were moving from finance to cannabis.
So I was the financial advisor for Georgetown and the Capitol Hill branches. I got into finance because I was passionate about helping my community and wanted to do financial education, but I ended up in wealth management. A couple of things were happening at the same time. So my dad was diagnosed with fibromyalgia, which is like a neurological disorder. So he had all types of like crazy medications that they were putting him on, like this nasty one called prednisone. So I said, hey, Dad, I think you should try medical marijuana. That might help you with this. And so he's like, son, I've been smoking weed since the 60s. There's nothing you could tell me about this. So I was like, no, Dad, I really think this can help you. So through that journey of us exploring like medical cannabis together, like, and, you know, trying to help him, that was the first time that I was exposed to like what the legal cannabis industry, what it was.
So let's kind of talk about your day-to-day job. What's an average day or a typical day like for Tahir?
Man, to be honest, if it's a day like today, I'm probably on Zoom from like 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. talking to people. It's like I'm on the East Coast, but trying to connect with West Coast folks as well. So if a lot of time I'll spend time at events educating with internal folks in the industry on social equity. But another thing that I've been spending a lot of time over the last couple of months since I've been at U.S. Cannabis Council, a big part of one of my goals is wanting to, as we tear down the stigma of cannabis and educate more people of color and people that have been impacted by the war on drugs into the cannabis industry, I've really been doing a lot of outreach to traditional, like minority-led civic organizations and civil rights organizations. So again, if it's not policy and programs, it's networking or spreading the gospel of cannabis / social equity, man. So that's really it.
So let's talk about that safe banking conversation. Were the politicians surprised by some of the challenges that the operators were sharing? Or were they kind of, they understood them, but were still hesitant to make changes? Can you kind of share more about that?
Sure. Well, I think the reason that the event that we had last week is important is because there's this narrative out there that passing safe banking or giving access to banking for cannabis would only be helpful to the big companies. And I thought that it was really important that we change that narrative. People were able to speak from a number of different experiences. I have my boy, Tucky Blunt. He's the first social equity dispensary owner in Oakland and by that way in the world. My boy, Shayuna Dataji, he's the youngest African-American dispensary owner in the country with Elevate Cannabis. He has operations in Oregon and Massachusetts. I have my Jersey folks, my big brother, Leo Bridgewater. He's a super active veterans advocate in cannabis who's now pursuing a cannabis license. And my homegirl, Precious, I'm not going to even mess her last name up, but she's a vice also. She's from Jersey also, and she's the CEO of a company called Roll Up Life. And last but certainly not least, we had James Bauer. It really was just all about telling the stories that it's not just big cannabis that this impacts, but it has real implications for people of color being able to participate in the industry, but then also public safety. And that speaks to everybody. So I think the safe banking is really important.
The MSOs are aware that the longer this goes on, the more they're kind of separating from the pack. So obviously, I know they want to kind of do their part in kind of contributing for the overall benefit of the industry. And a lot of the leaders are pretty vocal about that kind of contribution. So I know you're working on an internship program, and I'd love for you to kind of share more about it.
So, you know, again, and I won't say that, of course, the multi-state operators, they stand to benefit from banking passing as well. That's not a secret, right? Of course, they do have access to capital now, but traditional capital would be better for everybody. But one of the things that I've seen is, again, seeing all these different large multi-state operators come together to really support social equity and really like to really develop a platform around that. And with that being said, is where the internship program and all of these other things that I'm working on comes into play. I'm super proud that we're doing an internship program. We're partnering with the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, and we're going to have, I think right now we're up to 10 different interns that will be in different organizations that are within U.S. Cannabis Council. And so they'll have the opportunity to really get hands-on experience in the industry.
So let's talk more about that program. Is there certain roles that are available? Like how, if people are interested in it, like can you share more about that top-level approach?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation is going to handle all the recruiting. They've operated like internship programs for a number of years. And so they're kind of providing the structure. The interns will get professional development, opportunities to interact with members of Congress as well. And then also to work with our member companies that are, you know, that are part of whatever company they get assigned to.
For our listeners out there, what is one fact or statistic that you think will surprise or shock them about the cannabinoid industry?
Man, I feel like most people don't know that there are hundreds of different cannabinoids in cannabis. There's like the bud tender nerd coming out. But then like, you know, terpenes is something that was super cool to learn about in cannabis, right? Like the same type of essential oils that are in other plants are in cannabis. And that's what makes up the unique scents or taste that you get, the texture and all that stuff is super interesting. We're just scratching the surface. Like weed is not just getting high, right? Like there's so much more to that, and which is why we need like research and everything to try to advance that.
Slightly switch gears. Early on, Illinois was praised for their social equity program. Their licensing didn't seem to resemble that from an overall outcome standpoint. Do you think New York and New Jersey and more of the East Coast states will learn from that and do a better job?
Absolutely.
Since you've been in the cannabinoid industry, what has been the biggest misconception?
Don't get in cannabis thinking it's a get rich quick scheme, because it's really not. Like everybody, like people think everybody in cannabis is making money hand over fist, and it's not true. There are people that are well off, but like if you own a cannabis business, you get hit with 280E. You're giving up like 50, 60% of your money to taxes, right? So you got that. And then like I was a bud tender, I made $15 an hour. So it's like, it's not like everybody in this is just making money hand over fist. So
you could sum up your experience in a main takeaway or lesson learned to pass on to the next generation. What would it be?
And this doesn't really have anything to do with cannabis, but I would say one of the most important things is really always believing in yourself, staying optimistic. Like I really believe that anything you set your mind to, if you believe it hard enough, you put forward the steps to do it, it can happen. And that's whether you don't believe it or not. To be honest, like people look at me and see all of this great stuff that I'm doing. And it's like, to be honest, I have no idea how the hell that I got here. It's only through that dedication, like, bro, like, you know, long hours, like, you know, even when you think you can't do it, pushing yourself to do it. And being, I think the other thing that I'll say is just being good to people, being a good person. I think that that's not as valued as much in today's society.
What's the one thing that every person, single person can do to make a difference for USCC's and MPP's mission going forward?
Well, I'll say if you believe in cannabis legalization, reach out to your local legislator, let them know. Cannabis prohibition has been going on for far too long. We're seeing the momentum coming now where states are legalizing at a rapid pace. So, you know, if you're somewhere where cannabis isn't legalized, make sure that you let them know that.
For those out there that want to get involved, they want to learn more, where can they get in touch?
LinkedIn and Facebook is just my name, Tahir Johnson. Instagram and Twitter is Tahdiddy, T-A-H-D-I-D-D-Y. You can reach me by email at tjohnson@uscannabiscouncil.org. You can learn more about U.S. Cannabis Council at uscannabiscouncil.org. Marijuana Policy Project at mpp.org. And last but not least, man, y'all to check out my podcast, The Cannabis Diversity Report. That's I do it sporadically now, but you know, it's online on most of the different platforms, social media and like podcast platforms also.
We'll plug those all in the show notes. Appreciate you taking the time. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to today's show. To check out more great cannabis podcasts, go to podconnects.com. Here's a preview of one of our other shows.
How do cannabis CEOs balance growth and optimization strategies? What is THCO, Delta 10, and CBNA, and why should you care about these minor cannabinoids? And why is an endocannabinoid system covered in medical school? Most people think they're up to date in trends in the cannabis industry, but they're about 6 weeks behind. Learn about what is truly next in the cannabis space by joining myself, Brian Fields, and Kellen Finney every week on the Dime Podcast, and of course, on PodConnects.